I sat down and I said, where's my sermon? Thankfully, and I went to my office and it wasn't there. I said, boy, I hope it's back with the at the AV table with those guys. So I'm not going to blame them because I don't think they took it. But you know, talking about being your ducks in a row, all of a sudden the ducks aren't in a row, going to amp up. But anyhow, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12, if you would. Isaiah chapter 12, page 563 in your Red Pew Bibles. We continue in working our way through this book of Isaiah. We kind of finished the last section. And I know there's like 60-some books in Isaiah, but we're going to kind of skip now as we move along. And probably some of you are saying, oh, good, finally, you know. Last year, Kara and I, when we hiked the El Camino, there's a picture of us here when we were in the Madrid airport early in the morning when we were starting out. And we flew to the little town of Irun, which is up in the sea in the northeast corner of Spain, our starting point. And we landed there. We got there pretty early, and we had to wait for the hostel to open where we were going to stay. But we had to get our little passport. And I remember, and I think I told this story before. I remember sitting in that airport just with her, just going, what on earth am I doing here? Why did I choose that? This is just so out of my comfort zone. And I remember to the point where I got this sick feeling in my stomach because so much of it, you know, this wasn't like you take a vacation and, oh, we're going to stay here and we're going to stay there. I mean, this was like day to day. Where should we stay today, right? And so that all of a sudden, it was for real, man. And I was freaking out a little bit to the point where I got sick to my stomach. And then two nights later, we were sitting in this little city, a little town overlooking, it's beautiful, overlooking the river, and all these people milling around or eating. And I began to interact with some of the people, and I realized, oh, man, I don't know where we're going to stay tomorrow night. And people were talking about, you know, yeah, that place might be filled. And so then you have to walk 5 miles more because when you stay, you know, so you don't just go. These are villages. They don't have, there's not a hotel everywhere. There's a little hostel that may hold 20 travelers. And it opens at 2. And then it fills up. And then so then you got to walk 5 more miles to the next place. And there are stories of people just sleeping outside. I don't want to sleep outside, you know? And so I remember just getting really, really anxious. And that's when Kara said, you know, Dad, we just need to trust in God. I said, shut up, you know? I mean, it was that feeling of just being so anxious and so uncomfortable. And that, yeah, I choose a vacation to do that. How weird was that? But even a couple weeks ago, and I remember having a conversation with Kara when she was, you know, then now debating about coming back. And I said, you know, listen, there's the anxiety of coming back, and then you got to find a job, and then you got to go on a, you know, interview. And I don't know, I'm not, you know, this is like her first full-time job, or, you know, and it's like, you know, and she was a little anxious. And I just said, I get it. I told her, I said, I get it. We're the same. I say, you and I are the same. We don't just jump at the chance of new challenges. There's some people out there that, man, they attack everything and they eat that stuff for breakfast. Come on, let's do it. Let's attack this thing. That ain't me, man. That is just not me. But we all have periods in our life that can make us really uncomfortable, that can bring anxiety into our life. And so what do when you hit those uncomfortable moments in your life? Now, there's some people that turn to comfort food, right? That if you have a down day, you're kind of bummed out, you know, you'll turn and you have your favorite comfort food. We had to put our dog down this week, who had been with us for like 10 years. And Kara and I were leaving the vet's office and we're driving. And she says, she goes, Dad, I think we need a bereavement treat. And so we went to Papa Jim's, a good excuse to go to Papa Jim's, right? But we, you know, some people have comfort TV. You're just kind of bummed out, so you just turn on the TV, and I'll do that, and I'll watch Seinfeld or The Office, you know, we just do that. Or some people turn to comfort shopping, which was a big deal during the pandemic. You know, Amazon made out well during the pandemic. But there are some things then that people turn to that perhaps are not so good either. But we long for comfort. We long for peace. And there always seems to be something to worry about. And this side of heaven, nothing is ever going to totally settle down. But, you know, we can get glimpses of it. We go on vacation. We put things on the back burner for a while. And then there's retirement. There's the beauty of retirement, you know. But then you start worrying about it. Then you got health issues, right? Then you got to go to the doctor. Or family worries that you got to deal with. Or speaking of retirement, how would you like to retire and move to Maui? You know, with all the junk that's gone, I mean, it's just crazy. So there's always something out there to worry about, to make us anxious. But on the other hand, the Bible talks about comfort a lot. In our scripture today, the word comfort comes up in it. So we're going to start here in Isaiah chapter 12. This, again, in Isaiah chapter 11, if you recall from a couple weeks ago, Isaiah began talking about how one day God is going to send this new ruler, this new king, this Messiah who's going to be even better than David, and people will be reconciled with God. God won't be angry with them anymore, and this leader will rule with justice and with peace. And one of the things we said is that was Jesus, right? That Isaiah 11 is looking forward to Jesus. And so chapter 12 is a continuation of that. And this is actually a closing section of the first part of the book of Isaiah, and it ends with this beautiful song, just a couple verses. Look what it says. It starts talking about God's comfort. In that day, Isaiah writes, you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Now, Isaiah is looking ahead to that day of comfort, because remember, the people are going through this difficult time, and he has been preaching that God is angry with the people because they turned away from God. They didn't wait on him, right? They made a deal with the pagan nation of Assyria when they should have just waited and allowed God to take care of things. They made a deal with that nation of Assyria, and Assyria then overtook them, is going to rule over them. But now Isaiah is saying one day God's not going to be angry about that anymore, and he's going to comfort you in all the distress that you're experiencing. So let's continue on in verse 2 and close it out. Surely, he says, you will say, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. So Isaiah's promise to the people is this. He's telling them, he's giving them hope. One day, God is going to usher in this new world where his people will be comforted. No more stress, no more worry, no more anxiety. And that one day God will come down and live among his people. Notice that last verse in verse 6, that he's not going to be far off away in heaven, that one day he's going to come down. But wait a minute, for us who are believers, that day has already come. That day has already come. Hasn't Messiah already come? That perfect leader that Isaiah talked about in chapter 11, he has come in Jesus. And the Gospels tell us over and over again that Jesus, as God, came down and lived among his people. In fact, that's the way John describes it in John chapter 1. He said that Jesus came down and he pitched a tent among his people and lived among his people. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you someone just like me. He is called the Comforter. That's an interesting word. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told his disciples on that last day, like I talked to the youth there, he gave them instructions and he said, I'm going to be with you always until the end of the age. So that verse is in Jeremiah or in Isaiah is kind of, you know, Jesus used that as well. So when we think about how to receive God's comfort during these trials and challenges, I think the key is found in verse 6. Now, this is really, really important because we all go through stuff, but God wants to comfort us. How do we receive God's comfort? And the key, I think, is in verse 6. It says, shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. You can underline that if you have your own Bible, not the Red Pew Bibles, but if you have your own Bible, you could underline that. And I think the key here is that God's presence with us. That's the key. And so we're going to have problems, we're going to have difficulties and challenges and have potential stress with anxiety. But the key to being comforted during those trials is when we begin to realize and accept the fact that God's presence is among us and that he wants to comfort us. God wants to comfort us. I hope that's the main point, because sometimes our mind will end up going, oh, this junk is happening to me. What did I do wrong? Why is God mad at me? Right? And the thing is, no, God wants to comfort us. Amazon will tell us, hey, listen, you can always go online 24/7 and buy anything you want that will bring you comfort. Right? Amazon will tell you that. If you're a person who likes to eat, you can go to their food pantry. Pretty much, you probably find something in your food pantry 24/7 that'll comfort you. Right? You can watch anything that you want on TV nowadays, 24/7. It's always on. You can always go there to find comfort. But God says the same thing too. God says the same thing. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, as he writes his second letter to the church, to the believers at Corinth. And this is how he starts off his letter. Chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. I think that's wonderful. And sometimes we can even say amen to that. You know, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. You know, sometimes which is great when you put sermons together and you find verses that just kind of go and you kind of go, yeah, that's the joy of reading the scripture. When I was first here many, many years ago, and I had a cell phone at the church here, my first cell phone at the church. And whenever I needed to take a call or make a call, I had to go out in the parking lot. Right? You go out in the parking lot, I'm walking around, talking to people behind the church, you know. And said, what's that noise? That's just a truck going by, you know, I'm outside. And you did that because it couldn't get reception. It couldn't get good reception inside. So I had to move to an area where I could receive a cell signal in order to complete the call. Now, Paul tells us that God comforts us in all of our troubles, but sometimes we don't always receive that comfort. We don't always get that comfort because I think things get in the way. There are barriers to us fully receiving God's comfort, but I think Isaiah gives us a few hints here on how we can move into a better position to fully receive God's comfort. Notice what he says in verse 1. He says, I will praise you, Lord. And then he says, you are my strength, my defense, my salvation. You are my joy. Verse 4, he says, I will praise. Verse 5, I will sing. Verse 6, I will shout and sing. Here's the first step, is that I think which helps us is to thank God for all of his blessings. To thank God for all of his blessings. This is one of the ways that we can begin to find comfort in difficult times, is to train ourselves to be thankful and to be grateful. Author and blogger Chris Winfield shares his thoughts on gratitude. And he starts off by saying this, you know, why did this have to happen to me? He said, it didn't matter if it was something big like my dog gets cancer or a good friend dies or something little like my flight is delayed or I spilled something on my shirt. He said, I was in a constant state of poor me. This all started to change once I began writing a gratitude list every single day for the past 3 years. And it has changed my life profoundly. And he said, here are the four most important things I've learned on my gratitude journey. Number one, it's hard at first. When you've lived most of your life not focusing on gratitude, it's not so simple to change that. Secondly, there's always something to be grateful for. We've heard that before. No matter what was going on in my life, business problems, I was sick, somebody cut me off in traffic, there was always something I could find to be grateful for. My health, my daughter's smile, etc. Number three, gratitude grows the more that you use it. He said, my gratitude lists start off very basic, and I struggle to find things to be grateful for, especially on the rough days. But once I consistently took action, it became easier and easier. And finally, number four, it can help stop negative thought patterns. Now, I always like this one because I'm more of a science engineering type of person. And he wrote that according to the Laboratory of Neuroimaging, the average person has about 70,000 thoughts a day. It's a lot. 70,000 thoughts a day. But the big problem with that is this. The vast majority of those thoughts are negative. Gratitude can work to stop these negative thought patterns by replacing them with something positive. And so thanking and praising God can open us up to receiving more of God's comfort. Second thing that Isaiah shares, in verse 2, he says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Second thing is to trust God in the challenges of life. This is the problem that the Israelites had, right? They didn't wait. They didn't trust God. They turned to the pagan Assyria, and it blew up in their face. Now, it is hard to trust God. It is hard. It's a challenge for us to trust God because we naturally then want to fix things, right? We want to fix things. We want to find solutions. We want to discover reasons into why this happened and, you know, and then end up blaming somebody. And then sometimes we end up acting rashly or thinking wrongly and, as I like to say, doing stupid stuff. You know, we can end up doing stupid stuff. Or sometimes we do it on the other way, is that we're just so overwhelmed we do nothing. We just do nothing. We're overwhelmed. We get depressed, okay? And we just don't know. We're just paralyzed. Sometimes we need to understand that things just can't be fixed. Sometimes things can't be fixed. Sometimes things happen for no reason, right? And so we live in a broken world. And sometimes life throws us jokers. Sometimes life just throws us jokers and we have to deal with it. We have to play the cards that we are dealt. But we train ourselves with the promise that God loves us, that He cares for us. We are His children and He wants the best for us. And sometimes what happens on this earth, the best does not happen. And during those times, He wants to comfort us and see us through those situations. And so we trust, knowing that Scripture says His presence is with us and that He will see us through. This is what faith is. That's what faith is. And number three is that we want to tell others how awesome God is. That helps us in our comfort when we tell others how awesome God is. Notice what he says in verses 4 and 5. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. And proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world, Isaiah writes. And so one of the ways that we tell other people is with weekly worship. That we come here every week, and this is a public declaration that how awesome God is. A good habit to get into. But another good habit to get into, too, is name dropping out in the world. It's okay to drop God's name. Even though people don't think too highly of God in the world, it's okay to drop God's name when you're out in the world. It's okay to say, praise God. It's okay to say, thank you, God. Thank you for this, God. God is good. It's okay to say those things out in the world. But do it, please. Can I ask you to please do it in a genuine way? Don't be fake about it. Like, you know, you get those Christians, oh, praise God. Don't be like that. Okay? Be genuine. And it's a sense, we get the sense like this. God has been so good to me that I can't keep silent about it. Right? That's what we're talking about here. That's what Isaiah is saying. We can't keep silent about it. And then you may even flat out have the opportunity to share with a person face to face about what God has done in your life. And if you have that opportunity, take that. Don't wait for the professionals. Man, you tell them what God has done in your life. And you're doing Isaiah chapter 12. And I think when we get into the habit of doing this, okay, of just dropping God's name and having it be a part of our everyday lives, when that's part of it, you know, it's like we're in the game more. It's like we're more a part of Team Jesus, okay? Playing in the game is always a lot more fun than riding the bench. I can say that from experience. Spend more time on the bench than playing in the game. And I think when we talk about God more, we feel like we are more a part of Team Jesus. We are contributing to the play, what's going on. When we don't do that and we have difficult times, what happens is we just kind of drift to the background, right? And we say things like, life's out of control right now. I can't handle church. I can't handle being around people, and so I'm just going to wait till my life is better, till the issue passes. And it's almost like we're removing ourselves from the roster. And when we do that, we're going to miss out on some of the victories that are available to us. And one of those being God's comfort as well. You know, one of the best witnesses, hear me on this, one of the best witnesses you can have out in the world as a follower of Jesus is how you handle adversity. That says a whole lot to the rest of the world when they look at you and you name the name of Jesus. And how you handle adversity is a witness to the rest of the world, because too often Christians end up acting just like non-Christians. They get anxious. They complain. They mope, they get angry and bitter, they start blaming and living without hope. Folks, we worship the resurrected one, the one who defeated death. But you know, the flip side of that is this, and you think about this. We tend to admire. Don't we admire those people who go through trials, who have been dealt a really serious hand in life, and we look at them, and somehow, some way, they still keep coming to church. They still are praising God in their everyday life. They still find a way to serve. It might not have been the way that they used to, but maybe they're doing something different. They still find a way to serve. And one of the reasons that they can do that is because they have been comforted by God. Would you bow your heads, please? And I just want you to, just in this time of silence, just between you and the Lord, I just want you to think of it. Is there an area of your life where you need comfort? And just deep down within yourself, just voice that to God. Just tell Him. Now I want you to just, I want you to just think of a few things that you are thankful to God for. And now in your deep heart of hearts, just say those to God. God, I thank You that You're not just interested in throwing us out in the world and tell us to just go for it. But You want to comfort us. You are the God of all comfort. Lord, You are the God of peace. And Lord, from the promises of Jesus, it tells us that You are always with us. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, that we might begin to live gratefully, that we might trust You a little more than we did last week, and that we might look for opportunities to tell others about Your goodness and Your comfort. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.